What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
What's up? What's up? What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? How you guys doing this morning on a Saturday morning? This is the best thing to do here this morning as you are joined by myself, Mr. Zach Vaughn, and Kevin Syracuse for another edition of the Buffalo Fanatics Riders Club. Welcome, 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 guys. How are you feeling this morning? Let them know what's up. Zach, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. Excited to talk some more Bills this week. Also, happy 716 day to everyone.
Oh, there we go. There we go. No doubt about that. Happy 716 day. Kev, how you feeling this morning?
Pretty good. 1 week away from training camp.
Oh, man. Training camp, ladies and gentlemen, is right around the corner. Oh, I'm so excited about that. I am so excited. Good morning to everybody who is joining us right now in the chat. I see some people popping off in here. Prince is in here. Buffalo Snow is in here. You guys are talking about the injury. Don't worry about that. We're going to get into that here in just a little bit. So I am joined, as I mentioned earlier, by myself. Of course, if you don't know me by now, I am the Rev Rhodes. And I've got my man Zach Vaughn and Kevin Syracuse who are here. They are the editors-in-chiefs of the Buffalo Fanatics. You know what? This podcast called the Riders Club is all about the riders of the Buffalo Fanatics. You know why? Because riders are people too, and that's what it's all about. And we are going to bring you that incredible Buffalo Bills content that you guys so desire and you deserve. And we are going to be joined a little later in the show by a couple of other special guests, number one being my man. You guys may or may not know him, but we know him as a thigh doctor. I call him the thigh master. He's going to be on here shortly talking about some of the issues with Josh Allen, or maybe they're issues, maybe they're not issues. We're going to find out. And then also I've got my man Pete Rubenstein who's going to join us a little later on in the show as well as we talk about the state of the Bills O-line. You guys stay tuned right now. Keep it locked on the Buffalo Fanatics Network. Grace and peace to everybody who's joining us this morning. Let me know where you guys are calling from. Where you're calling from. Look at, like this is a radio show. Let me know where you guys are watching from. Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. I want to know. This is the roll call this morning. If you're calling from, I keep on saying calling. If you're watching from Buffalo, New York, let me know where you're watching from. Kev, where are you guys watching, man? Where are you guys at? Are you in Rochester or are you in Buffalo?
I'm in Fredonia.
Fredonia, that's right. Fredonia. Oh, okay. I've got here we go. Davey coming in here. Town of Tonawanda, 716 in the house. In the house. Zach, where you at?
I'm in the Rochester area, but like the suburb of Penfield.
Okay, so okay.
Shout out to all the 585ers.
There we go. I'm all the way in Southwest Texas, El Paso, Texas, the 915 this morning. I've got Big Buck Bean popping in here from Stillwater, Oklahoma. Yo, Big Buck Bean, yo, I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 918, baby, stand up. I've got Steven coming in here, Denver, Colorado in the house. Yo, Buffalo Ron McDonald, of course. And then we've got Buffalo Snowy 7 coming in all the way from sunny London. And then, of course, we got some more coming in here from South Buffalo. Look, it's turning up. This is what we like. This is what we want on a Saturday morning. Well, Saturday morning for me, I guess it's kind of early afternoon, maybe just on the brink of the afternoon for you guys who are watching on the East Coast and especially way over there overseas. And sunny London. Yo, I'm excited, guys. I'm excited for another edition of the Buffalo Fanatics Riders Club. How do you guys feel about the fact that training camp is right around the corner? Kevin, let me start with you, man.
It's crazy because obviously I love it because it's the Bills, but at the same time, that always signals to me that it's a halfway point of summer and that the days are going to start to get shorter, the weather's going to start to turn, and I'm just like, holy cow, wasn't it just Memorial Day? But I love it because this is the best year for Buffalo Bills football in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And were you able to get you some tickets to training camp?
I have not yet. I really want to, though. I got to get up.
Well, they're sold out. I think the Bills put it out there on the website that the tickets are completely sold out.
Every single session?
Yeah, as far as I know. Is that right, Zach? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, it was weird because, I went onto a site, at 10:30 a.m. on the day they were going live to the general public, and I was in the queue for a while. I got down to like from like 66,000 something to like 2,900 something, and then it just stopped. And it was stuck like that for an hour. And then I saw on Twitter that there were reports that they were sold out and stuff like that. And it's wow. Like, wonderful.
So they're completely sold out. That's crazy. And it went out in like a few hours, right? If I'm not mistaken, is that correct?
Yeah, I think part of it was too. I think they opened them up to the season ticket holders a day early, which makes sense. But also yeah. The limit that they had, it was like four per person per practice session. So theoretically, someone could have gotten four tickets for each day.
Right. I see what you're saying. But, yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy because I know a lot of Bills fans have been waiting patiently. I mean, it's been 2 years since they were last at St. John Fisher. And for those tickets to go up that quick, it's crazy. I mean, I guess it's good and bad. I mean, it's good for the fact that you know, we know the Buffalo Bills fans, Bills Mafia are going to support no. I mean, regardless, right? But then for those who are trying to get tickets and can't get them because they sold out like that, that's tough. That's tough. I think, I also kind of heard that these dudes were just like snatching them up and then trying to like sell them. I don't know how legit that is, but I wouldn't doubt it. Does anybody know anything about that? Any scalping any scalpers out here trying to sell these tickets? Because they were free, weren't they? Aren't they free?
Yeah, they were free, and all you had to do was just go on Ticketmaster or whatever and get them. So,
dang, man. That sucks. That does suck. But what doesn't suck is the fact that we are talking Buffalo Bills football with you all on a beautiful Saturday morning. What's the weather like out there in Buffalo, guys? What is it like out there in El Paso? It's sunny, man. It's going to be a firecracker of a day out here. It's hot. But what is it like out there in the 716?
I mean, it's probably similar, except it's probably not going to be as high as Texas, but hot for Western New Yorkers. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So what, how hot does it get typically out there? I've never been.
I think like the worst I've ever felt was probably like mid to high 90s. I mean, I'm probably forgetting something, but like usually gets between like 80 and 90 ish.
Wow. Okay.
Average.
Okay, that's hotter than I thought. I didn't think it got anywhere near that hot, especially like in the summer times. I was guessing maybe 80s at the most, but 90s that's pretty hot. And does it get humid out there?
Yeah, somewhat.
Somewhat. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, enough weather talk. I'm just excited because it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, and I'm glad that you guys are joining us. I see people here in the chat. Wow. I've got some all the way from Russia. Vitaly in the house, 11 p.m. right now in Russia. Thank you so very much for taking this time out here to watch us all the way from Russia. Man, that is amazing. That is amazing. What's going on, Ron? Ron in the house saying, what's up, Rev? And what's up to everybody else? Ed Butera in here from Hernando Beach, Florida. In the house, Joshua Castro coming in from Salinas, California, 831, baby. Yes, sir, indeed. All right, so we're gonna get the show cracking. All right, now I had mentioned earlier that we're gonna be joined by a very special guest, and that is none other than the Thigh Doctor. And I seen him popping in here a little bit here in the background, but then he came back out. So I'm not too sure. Maybe somebody can reach out to him, tell him to come back in here, try to do it again, because I know he's on a he's got some things to do today, and so we don't want to take too much time out of his schedule, but he is supposed to be joining us, and I don't know if he's having some technical difficulties or whatnot, but I do want to honor his time. So, but before we get him, as he's trying to get in here, guys, look, this is what I want to do. This is something that's brand new to the Bills, and this is what we're doing to the Fanatics Riders Club here this morning. And what I want to do is this. I want to introduce a brand new game. Okay, and so the three of us, well, I already know the answers to it. So I'm gonna shoot it to you, Zach and Kev. We are gonna introduce a new segment, a new game. Okay, and everybody out there who's watching us as well, you guys can join as well. Put your answers in the chat, okay? Because this is what we're doing. We are doing a brand new game, and here it is, right here. You ready? Let's get it. So it's called Name That Bill. And Kev Pop, there he is. Name That Bill. So essentially what this game is this. I am going to give you guys a question, okay, about the Buffalo Bills from any era, okay, any Buffalo Bills era. It's a trivia question, and you're going to name that bill, all right? Now, you can either write the answers down on a sheet of paper, or if you got a dry erase board, write them down and flash it to the camera, and then tell your answers too, because for those who are watching who are listening via podcast too. All right, so you got it? Kev, you ready? Did you catch the instructions?
Yeah, except I got to get my paper from upstairs.
Oh, you go. You don't have to get it. So what I'll do is on the count of three, all right, you guys give me your answers. Zach, you can flash it and tell me your answer, and then Kev, you can tell me your answer too. All right? So we're going to do it. And I've got a couple of questions for you guys. All right, so number one, are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready? Those who are watching in the chat, are you ready? Can you name that bill? Here it is. Question number one. Five Buffalo Bills players made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the 2000s. Which Bills player was not among them? Five Bills players made it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the 2000s. Which player was not among them? I'm going to play a little bit of music in the background. Let me see here. You ready? Can you name that bill? All right, I've got some answers here. Okay, I got some answers here. It's coming up in the chat. Remember, reread the question. Five Bills players made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the 2000s. Which player was not among them?
This is a multiple choice, right?
I'm not giving you no multiple choice.
So are you talking about like which of the five players who were inducted?
Yeah. No. So there are only five of them that actually made it, that were inducted in the 2000s, but one player was not.
As I said, what are the guidelines? Because there are a ton of players that were not inducted.
Okay. Tell you what, I'm going to make it easy on you guys. All right. I'm going to make it easy on you. I am going to give you multiple choice. Okay. Your options are Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith. You're going to pick out of those four. Out of those four players, which one was not among them? Which one did not get inducted during the 2000s? You can't be Googling it, Kevin.
I'm not using my brain.
All right. I got some answers coming here. Vitaly comes in here and says Steve Tasker. I've got another one for Steve Tasker. Pokemon comes in here with BB. Air Allen in here says Cornelius Bennett. Lofton comes in here and he says Lofton. Okay, so the time is up, guys. Time is up. What's your answer? Zach, I'm start with you.
I was stumped by this, so I'm just going to go for it and say Andre Reed.
Okay, lift it up.
All right. Question mark.
All right, gotcha. All right, Kev, what is your answer?
I'm going to say Andre Reed, too.
All right, man, you're copying, Kev. You can't copy. you can't copy, Kev. What's wrong with you, man? No, I'm just kidding. All right. You guys want to know the answer? The answer is, drum roll, please. Somebody give me a drum roll. Andre Reed. Oh. Andre Reed. Good job, guys. Good job. And I see some people had it. I think only a couple had it in the chat. Elite Brett said Andre Reed. Pokemon Professor said Andre Reed. Neil Tolliver said Andre Reed. We got some smart people here in the chat. But you know who else is smart? I've got somebody else who's incredibly smart, and that is my man, the Thigh Doctor, and he is here in the background. But what I want to do is I want to give him a proper introduction. I've got to give my man a proper introduction. So, Thigh Doctor, hold on, okay? Hold on right there. Check this out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, indeed. Yo, welcome to the show. First appearance on the Buffalo Fanatics Writers Club. None other than, some of you guys know him as the Thigh Doctor. I call him the Thigh Master. This is the man, a.k.a. the Thigh Doctor. Welcome to the Buffalo Fanatics Writers Club. What's going on, my brother? How you doing?
Hi, boys. I'm doing really good.
Good to see you, man. Good to finally have a chance to talk to you. Even though it's virtual, this is the first time I've had the chance to talk to you, man. So I'm good. I mean, you're looking, you're pretty, where you at? You're chilling in front of your garage, man, getting a good tan or what? What's up?
Kicking back at my mom's. I'm visiting for the weekend.
There you go.
Lackawanna.
Lackawanna. It looks
just
nice out there, man.
Just got done at the steel mill gym, lifting some weights. Thighs are very swollen.
Thighs are swollen?
Oh, yeah.
Are they too swollen to do a dance, man? You got to do a live dance for us, man.
I don't really have the setup, but if I could do like a selfie thigh, I'll do it for you.
There it is. Look at that.
How's
look
that
at my man. Yeah, that's beautiful, man. That is beautiful. That
hey,
is
Kevin.
Beautiful.
How you doing?
You're good, man.
What happened to Zach? Because Zach always gets weird when I get on. Did he just hop off because of it?
And I don't know what happened to Zach. I mean, I don't know. He just popped off. I don't know if he's having some technical difficulties or he was just those thighs. Man, just blew his mind, and he just couldn't take it anymore.
His Wi-Fi cut out again.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, man. I bet you do. I bet
but
you.
But Rev,
do.
It's really good to talk to you too.
Man, man, this is wonderful, man. This is wonderful. I'm glad that you joined the show. You look nice.
Saturday today.
It is, huh? It is. You know, the sun is hitting you just right though.
Oh, I'm sweating bullets. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it looks good, baby.
Thanks.
Looks good. I like your shirt, man. You ready to jump through some tables this year?
Oh yeah,
no doubt.
Two and counting under my belt.
Oh snap!
I'll tell you what, Rev. They never don't snap. You see those guys that they would jump through them. They don't break. They break when I jump.
Oh, because oh, yeah. when you're jumping, you're bringing that weight, aren't you?
Oh for sure. Oh yeah.
Right.
I'm like 225 below the waist.
Oh my gosh. Hey. I ain't even gonna touch it. I was gonna say something. I ain't gonna touch it. I ain't gonna touch it, man. Yo, so hey, Thigh, look, I'm gonna call you Thigh. Doc. I'm gonna call you Doc.
Yeah.
So look, listen, Doc. Now you had I want to respect your time because you said that you gotta be out of here pretty quickly, but you had written an article, man. And I've already had some people here in the comments in the chat. They're like, yo, who's injured? What do you mean injury? Who's injured? So they're a little confused by what's going on right now. But you had put out an article about Josh Allen's injury resilience.
That's right.
Talk to the people real quickly, man. If you can, just kind of give them a little synopsis. Let them know a little bit about your thought process behind Josh Allen's injury resilience and what you mean by that.
Yeah, so Josh has stayed remarkably healthy. I mean, he had the ulnar collateral ligament injury that kept him out a couple weeks, but besides that, he hasn't really missed any time. And I just, you know, watching him from the start, I just felt like this guy's put himself in harm's way quite a bit from extending plays or, you know, just putting himself out there. And he stays healthy. And this isn't like, oh, go, here we go, you're going to jinx him. It's more like a homage, like honoring him, how good he is. So it's beyond just being big and strong. Uh-huh. He's smart. He's got spatial awareness. He knows when the guys are coming low, and he, you know, if you look at the article, there's like it's like the top 10 hits. You know what I mean? It's like a it's like a highlight film, and there's multiple times guys are going like missiles at his legs, and he knows just when to like kick the leg up at the last second, because you know when the leg's grounded and you get hit in the knee like that, that's going to bend it backwards. If you guys. You know, I don't know. We're all the same age, but I don't know if you remember Willis McGahee. Like that's what it looks like when your foot stays on the ground, you get hit in the knee. it bends backwards. So I just wanted to like break it down. So every year he's had like one or two like big ones. You know, some people probably don't even remember a lot of them. But you know, right. For me, like my background, those stick out like sore thumbs.
Yeah.
So I kind of always kind of kept track of it, and I just kind of wanted to break it down for everyone.
Right, and I'm glad you did because I don't think people really realize that you're actually, you know, like you're actually a doctor. You know what I'm saying? And so like you understand what's going on, and there's like, it's more that it's not just look, you know, or whatever the case may be. Like so, Josh, his body is built to withstand. I mean, to handle some of these hits and these blows that he takes. So you had mentioned you I think you had even put a thread out about some of these hits. I remember one in particular is coming off the top of my head, the one against the Chargers where he got spun around by Joey Bosa.
So that's not like an awareness one. That's hey, he's extending the play and he refuses to go down. And he got rolled up. So that one, he sprained the inside of his ankle and his MCL. Now that's less brain, that's more brawn. Like, right. I don't know, the guy's got superhuman like collagen. You know what I mean? Yeah. For some people, that's like a 2 to 4 week injury. And he just dusts himself off. He took one play off. I think Barkley got crushed the next play. They kicked the field goal and he came back. He actually, that was the one he had the big scramble and he got the unsportsmanlike when he spun it on the DB when he beat him to the pylon.
So how is he like it? Is it something that he's doing in the gym or is it like genetics? Does genetics have anything to do with it or what?
Genetics. The guy's got great genetics.
So he's got great genes.
Yeah. So what's some other big ones? So When he took that UCL hit, that's the Tommy John ligament, against the Houston his rookie year, you know, he threw the ball and then he got waxed by Whitney Mercilus.
Yeah, Whitney Mercilus, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh my goodness, that looked like the ligament should have blown off. Yeah. Watch the video, it's vicious.
Yeah.
He only got it stretched. He only had to miss a couple weeks. I mean, that looked like that was going to need Tommy John surgery. So, you know, again, great genetics.
Yeah. And then I'm looking at, I've got your article pulled up here. And because I don't want to get people too much of it. I don't want to show them everything. You guys have to go to the Buffalo Fanatics website, or matter of fact, what you can do. And let me just do this real quick, Doc, while I've got you on here.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know anything about this, you don't know where you can find any of these great articles that writers like my man Thigh Doctor and Kev and all the other guys are writing, this is where you can find it. Watch this. Overdrive. There you go. So if you have not downloaded the BF Network app right now, I don't know what you're waiting on. Go ahead and download it right now. It's available on the App Store, the Google Play Store, all of that. Download it right now. It's a free app, and you get access to everything that we have. We got articles, you got podcasts, you got vidcasts, you've got merch, all of that. And you can find my man, Thigh Doctor, a.k.a. Thigh Master, as I like to call him. You can find his article here. Now, Doc, I'm looking here on the article, and there was another one here that was more about his, I guess, his spatial awareness in the pocket. It was against the, I think it was against the Texans, but you had mentioned it. It was in year three, I think, and Josh had Quentin Spain barreling down on him.
Oh, Dolphins game. That's week
Dolphins
two.
Dolphins game. There it was. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Oh, this is great. I love this one. So let me break down the scenario. So it's week two. The Bills were rolling the Dolphins early in the first half, and then like Fitzy got it rolling in the second half. They actually took the lead And it looked like things were kind of coming to a crash and burn. So then we get the ball back after a touchdown. I think it's like 24-20. Yeah. Now we're down. And then it's like the third play of the series. It's third and long. Quentin Spain just gets chucked into his knees.
Yeah.
Allen jumps at the last second. Now, if his foot stays down, again, he's gonna get that knee hyperextended. That's his front leg. Most guys, it's a long throw. He threw a 47-yard pass to Diggs for a first down.
Right.
Most guys are gonna have to step and plant into that. He jumps. He released the ball with no feet on the ground. It was like a jump throw.
Yeah.
Laser pass. Diggs gets it. 47-yard first down. And again, that was third and long. And then we scored a touchdown on that drive and put the game away. And that was Allen's breakout year three.
Yeah, that was. I remember watching that and watching this clip. I'm like, I don't know how in the world this guy is. Like, he's got eyes everywhere. He got him in front of his head, in the back of his head, on his legs. He's got him everywhere. The guy's awareness is uncanny. And I'm glad you had brought that one up, because man, the last thing any of us want to see is Josh Allen go down. We don't want to see him go down, and he has the awareness and the wherewithal to move out of the way and move out of the pocket and evade defenders who are coming at his legs. And he did that in that game. And then there's another one. We had mentioned the Joey Bosa one earlier. And you had also mentioned the Willis McGahee, him getting bent backwards. So there's a lot of things that I think that Bills Mafia can,
the Saints,
I guess,
game,
be excited
the Saints
about.
Game was, the Saints game was scary. Yeah, and that was after Trey White. Trey White already had torn his ACL. The Bills finished the first half on a low note. He had back-to-back picks, and then they came out of halftime. This is on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And on that first series, Allen's scrambling for a first down, and he's looking downfield, and like the corner, I think it was Roby for the Saints, he was kind of lurking on the sideline. And then at the last second, you know, because Allen's looking down the field, he doesn't really see what's towards the boundary. Mm-hmm. Roby comes out of nowhere because he like must have came off like the receiver. Went for his legs, and holy crap, he just lift that right leg at the last second, and he got Olaid. He got flipped.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that foot was down, man, guys, he's done.
Yeah, I'm watching this clip, and you guys need to watch this. I'm telling you, this is good stuff that Doc's putting out, and this is like he had mentioned earlier. He's not jinxing it or anything like that. Like this is like legitimately something that Josh has. I mean, it's genetic. You know what I'm saying? It has a lot to do with awareness, and it's the way he's built. I mean, this guy he's a truck, 6'5", 240. He's a truck. Now, granted, we don't want him taking, you know, all of these types of hits, because eventually, you know, something is going to, well, I wouldn't say it's going to happen, but if he keeps on taking, you know, these kind of hits, you have to figure that it's going to wear on his body. But rest assured that we have a guy who's built for this kind of stuff. Imagine if he was, you know, a smaller guy like a Tyrod Taylor or like a, you know, like some of the smaller quarterbacks that we've had before. They would have been out a long time ago. But the fact that we've got Josh Allen, this guy with some beautiful legs, by the way. Doc, how gorgeous are Josh Allen's legs, man?
Like, I mean, they're not the most defined legs, but when you, like, put shorts on them, something magical happens.
Doesn't it?
Especially, oh, yeah. It's just because he's got, like, the length that something, it's mystic.
Oh, so, man, that's what she said.
There's got to be an article about it. So just Google Josh Allen looks good in shorts. I'm sure it's broken down somewhere out there.
I'm sure you need to write something about it, especially when we're talking about, you know, his length. Oh man, that
he's it's got been a whole written. Lot. Brad, it's been written.
Yeah. Hey, you can write another one. It's all right. It's all good.
part two.
Yeah, part two. And as you're wiping your mouth,
the shorts got shorter.
They did. No doubt, man. But look, Hey, Doc, I appreciate you, man, for hopping on and talking about this. You know, like I said, I didn't want to take up too much of your time because I know you've got things to do as you're out there hanging out with moms. You're
about to go get
tanning up.
About to go to get soaked on Maid of the Mist. That's the plan today.
There you go.
Bring the kid to it, you know?
Have fun, baby.
I'm reliving all my childhood stuff this weekend.
No, man. There you go. Nothing like reliving childhood. Nothing like it. And I see you out there, man. You look good, man. So hang out there, have fun, enjoy your weekend. Let everybody know. I'm gonna sew you up here real quick. Let everybody know where they can find you and what you may have coming out here in the near future.
Yeah, it's just I'm at Thigh Doctor on Instagram and Twitter. You can reach me out there. Post a lot of pics about thighs, talk about legs a lot, but mostly Buffalo Bills stuff and injury related.
Sounds good, baby. Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off like that. Sounds okay. Good. Sounds good, Doc. So I'm gonna go ahead and let you exit on a proper fashion, as the same way in which you were introduced. Solo, baby. Love you, man.
See you,
God
boys.
Bless. Enjoy your weekend. That is. Gotta love it, man. You've got to love the Thigh Doctor, man. Anytime Doc comes on the show, it's great. This is my first time I've got a chance to actually talk to him. Great guy, and man, does he have a set of thighs on him. That dude is yoked up, man, below the waist, brother. I mean, he's, you know what I'm saying? He's great guy. Absolutely love him. So you guys go out there, make sure you follow him on Twitter, social media, Instagram, at Thigh Doctor. And make sure you download the BF Network app so you can look at his article and read it in depth. He's got video clips of some of the injuries or some of the injury escapes, that Josh Allen had. Very, very well written, very in depth by my man Thigh Doctor. I appreciate him for coming on the show. Hey, you guys are watching. We're 30 minutes into the show right now. Do me this favor. Like, comment and subscribe, and then share this with all your friends, your family. I don't care who it is. Just share it and blow up social media with it. Let them know to tune in to the Buffalo Fanatics Network, the Riders Club, here on Saturday mornings as we keep it popping and keep it moving, guys. All right, so we've got more to talk about. But what I also wanted to do is since Doc was on here, and he was talking about Allen's injury resilience. We know that Josh Allen cannot sustain that right long term. That's just. We don't want Cam Newton, right? We don't want that to happen. We don't want to see that again. And Brandon Bean and even Sean McDermott had said it at the beginning of the offseason, how it was their goal to protect Josh Allen. And when you've got $200 million invested in a guy like him, you better believe it. He needs to be protected. So how do you think we should go about protecting him? What's the best way that we can protect Josh Allen, even protecting him from himself, because we know he's going to do his thing. He's going to do what he does because that's just the game he plays, right? It's going to be hard to rein him in, right? Because when game's on the line, he's going to take the ball in his hands and he's going to run. He's going to do what he can. He's going to jump over people. He's going to barrel down. He's going to put a shoulder in. He's going to do all of that. So it's going to be kind of hard to stop him from doing that. But how do you think Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott in the offense can protect him from himself? Okay, I'm gonna start with you.
I think the easiest way is just to not call a lot of QB runs. And as hard as that is, because we want to see Allen run, right? That's one of the most fun things to watch about this team. Obviously, he can air it out with his arm. But him with his legs and what he can do, stiff-arming linebackers, trucking them over, hurdling cornerbacks and linebackers, it's insane, like we've never seen before. And we want to see it, but it's a short-term versus long-term thing. So long-term, like you said, we don't want him to turn into Cam Newton 2.0 where, 5-10 years down the road, he's starting to slow up already.
Right.
Well, I think that's where you need to utilize the offensive weapons that you have more. I mean, look at the running back and the wide receiver rooms now. It is completely full, mm-hmm. and they're going to have to cut at least probably, from the running back room, probably one running back is going to go and a couple wide receivers are going to have to go. That's how stacked this roster is. So you're going to have to just trust it. And I think the best way to go about it is you kind of wean into it. So at the beginning of the year, I don't want to say those games don't matter as much, but it's not as crucial as the playoffs. Once the playoffs ramp up, that's when you got to utilize Allen and his legs.
Yeah, but definitely.
Week 1, week 2, we're going to be in LA. Tennessee's going to be here week 2. All the bright lights are going to be shining. And as tempting as it might be, to have Allen just truck ahead and try to bulldoze everyone over.
Right.
You have to resist that temptation and say, hey, short-term versus long-term, we have bigger goals in mind than just pushing over another linebacker.
Yeah, definitely. Zach, what about you?
Well, I was going to say something similar in that, the best way to limit his injury risk is to limit his exposure. And obviously that comes with maybe decreasing his rushing stats.
Right.
Also, too, the thing that could work too, is the fact that nobody really knows what Ken Dorsey is going to do. So if he does come out and they do limit Allen's runs, then you could just – then everyone will know that Dorsey is doing things a little bit different from Daboll. But at the same time, you can't you're not going to completely eliminate Allen running from the equation, because he'll always scramble around. He'll always try to extend plays. He'll probably also do some read options or something.
Yeah.
The other main way that you could limit the exposure is something that we will be discussing in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that was on Brandon Bean this offseason, and that was upgrading the offensive line.
Yeah, yeah.
Beefing up on there, because if you get him better pass protection, he won't necessarily have to scramble as much.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm thinking too. Both of you guys' points. I mean, yeah, we have to limit those design runs. Daboll was doing it way too often for me. But I think part of the reason why he did it was because the running game with the backs was just so putrid. You know what I'm saying? Like, his best option at running back was Josh Allen. You know, and at that time they're just trying to win by all means necessary. But I was scared. You know, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, having him running a couple of times and seeing him, you know, break out. That was great. But man, we can't have Josh running for what did he run for his rushing stats? I think it was like 700 something yards, if I'm not mistaken. I want to look that up. That was ridiculous. We absolutely cannot have that happening in the future. Josh Allen, let me see here. I think he had, I want to say it was 760 yards rushing. Let me check it out real quick.
Brett, while you look at that, I just want
to say, go ahead.
Another thing that I want to add to this is, how is Zach Moss going to fit into the equation this year? Because right now, Josh Allen is a big bruiser. And that was supposed to be Zach Moss. But when we need two or three tough yards, who do you go to, Josh Allen or Zach Moss?
You got
to
go to
last week how maybe Zach Moss is the odd man out because the Bills are trying to get speedier and quicker with Duke Johnson and James Cook and obviously with Devin Singletary. So maybe Moss is the odd man out. But if you're thinking that long-term versus short-term, the Bills will probably keep Zach Moss around and try to turn him into that big north to south back to take the pressure off of Allen.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we can't have Allen being that. I mean, I like the point you brought up about Zach Moss. We had mentioned it before also, and I think I even spoke on it a little bit last night. But yeah, no, we're gonna have to get rid of that. I mean, Josh Allen, yeah, great. Third and one, fourth and one. I mean, you love him in those scenarios, right? Because he's so big, right? In many cases, he can just pull forward and get the first down. But when you're talking about like even more yard, like if it's I don't know, third and three, third and five, or third and four, something like that, or maybe even fourth and two. I mean, I don't necessarily know if I want to have Josh Allen continue to do that. So yeah, I agree with you. We need to lean on the power back, who looks like it's going to be Zach Moss, who's the only other back in the backfield right now who actually fits that mold. Josh Allen last year had 763 rushing yards, guys. Almost 800 rushing yards. That is nuts. That's not happening anymore. I mean, yeah, it looks good, right? It pumps up his stats. It looks good, right? And we get excited about it. But I don't think that's going to happen anymore. And I would like to add to the fact that I definitely think that we're going to eliminate a lot of those design runs, but also lean more on the offensive line and the running game. I know Sean McDermott had mentioned it earlier in the offseason about being balanced, having a balanced offense and kind of, you know, taking this opportunity to, you know, as he was talking about transitioning from Brian Daboll to Ken Dorsey and then bringing in Aaron Cromer, who we're going to talk about also, is going to provide them with the opportunity to kind of reset and rebrand their entire offense. And so I think that we can expect to see more balanced offense. Not necessarily saying that Josh Allen is not going to throw as much as he has before, but I think that we're going to see more of a concerted effort to get the ball in the hands of the running backs in those situations, have a more efficient running game. So that way Josh Allen is not having to put it all on his back and put it all on his shoulders. Because you know what, if you're not, you know, I actually looked this up and the Bills were actually pretty decent when it came to pass protection last year. I just think that for some reason, you know, I guess down the field, some guys weren't getting open, or we just had some different matchups where it was just tough for guys to get open. But nonetheless, we need to make sure that we lean on those running backs. That's what they get paid for. Josh is a $200 million asset, but we don't want him running like that. Not to 700 something yards, man. We can't have that. We can't have it. And speaking of balance, and the offensive line and building protection and even utilizing the running backs more often, we've got my man Pete Rubenstein here. Pete Rubenstein is here in the background waiting patiently because he had written an article about the state of the Buffalo Bills offensive line. And I don't want to talk about it too much right now. I'm just going to bring my man here on the show. You guys give him a big welcome, a big warm of applause, a big a round of applause. Put him in the chat. Put those emojis in the chat and show some love to my man, Pete Rubenstein. Pete, what's good, man? How you doing?
Rev, Kev, Zach, how are we?
Man, we are good, baby. We are good. We are good. I like the jersey hang up in the background, man. I like that, man.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Hey, you got a Brian Bates jersey. There you go, man. Look, yeah, you don't see too many of those running around here.
No, sir. No, sir. Got to represent the Penn State boys pretty good, you know?
Got to represent, man. How you feeling, man?
I'm fantastic. I'm just excited to talk Bills football. Not a lot of Bills talk down in North Carolina.
Oh, is that where you are? Okay, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Wow. North Carolina, man. And what's the Bills is there any Bills backers down there in North Carolina?
I'm not too sure. I know our old chief is not too far from here, but I know he's in the area, and then I met a few other Bills fans. A lot of Buffalo natives moved down here to Wilmington because the heat and the beaches. I mean, I don't blame them.
Yeah. No doubt. I've never been over there before, man. Never been over mm-hmm. there before. I had no idea that you were in North Carolina. I don't know why. I just assume everybody with the Fanatics is in New York, you know, outside of Trish. And then way over there and you know, overseas, you know, but that's
good. I'm interning here. I'm actually from Connecticut.
Oh, snap. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sweet. So what are you interning, man? What are you doing?
I'm with the collegiate baseball team doing some ticket sales, ticket operations, marketing, all that good stuff.
Nice. Staying busy. And then writing these fire articles, man. Look, do me this favor, Pete. Tell everybody, man, you had written this piece about the state of the Buffalo Bills offensive line. And I want you to kind of, you know, don't give them everything, but just give them a little bit about your idea behind writing an article like that in which you were talking about.
So what the Bills have this year, what they haven't had in years past, is a lot of depth and a lot of like solid depth. I chose this article to write about because I wanted to address, well, if we have all these guys, we have about 10, 11 backups worthy of making a final roster. Who's actually going to make the cut? I mean, not only were they signing guys, they drafted linemen, they were trading for linemen. I mean, all solid acquisitions, but there's only so many spots. I mean, McDermott usually likes to keep three or four backups, usually a tackle or two, and then some interior offensive linemen who can play all three positions. But it's just really important to address who can stay, where they're going to stay, and how, and if they're worthy to stay. So, and in a season as important this is, with all the hype have right now, I think it was very crucial to talk about a area that nobody really thinks to talk about that much, the big uglies.
So who do you think is out of the two acquisitions that we made, okay, you know, in the offseason? So we added Roger Saffold, and then we brought back Ryan Bates. How do you feel about the interior of the offensive line now? Because, you know, last year there was some issues there with the interior. So now that we've got Ryan Bates solidified there, and then we added Saffold, how do you feel about them on the inside?
Probably the safest I've felt in years, ever since Richie Incognito, Eric Wood, all those guys were still manning the big three. Something we haven't had in a while, up until last year maybe as an exception, but we haven't really had no Pro Bowl interior lineman since Incognito. And now we have Roger Saffold, who not only brings experience, but he just came from one of the best running offenses in the National Football League, blocking for Derrick Henry.
Right.
So having him there, it's definitely like a security blanket, like a safety blanket, something like that. Mitch Morse just came off his best season yet.
Yeah,
PFF grade doesn't lie. The last few weeks of the running game were there. And also those last few weeks of the running game wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for big number 71. Coming in for Ike Butker and Cody Ford. I was actually at that New England game that he was at. He kept Josh clean. Singletary scored a few times. I was also at the Atlanta game. where Singletary, I think he ran for 2 touchdowns. What the Bills haven't been able to do is run the ball on the inside with running backs. And now that we have these three guys coming back to man those positions, I feel like Singletary pops off. You see a lot of James Cook, and hell, we could even see Zach Moss get a little more carries and pick up a few more yards like he's supposed to.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Now I'm glad you had mentioned, you touched on Ryan Bates, and I want to talk about this because you said something very interesting in your article that you guys need to watch and you guys need to go read it. BF Network app, download that thing right now and read this article. It's fantastic. Now, tell me about the impact that Ryan Bates made to the entire offensive line when he was inserted due to the injury of Ike Bocker. Because you had said something in the article, and I'm going to touch on it here later, that I don't think too many people really realize about his pressure rate, against, especially when you compare him to other guards in the NFL. So before we get into that part, what was his impact? How much of an impact did he make on the interior of the offensive line when he was added?
Well, he made a huge impact, and you can see it in the running game and the numbers itself. I mean, look at Singletary. Look at what the running backs started off doing last year. They were running the ball much more efficiently. They were scoring more. Yeah. Singletary was finally viewed as that running back he should have been when he was drafted in 19. Josh was cleaner. It just felt like the offensive line was finally on the same page. And it's not just the interior. I also saw that was a big part on Spencer Brown's part. Dion picking it up midway through the season. But having Ryan Bates in there, someone who's been in the system for a few years now and haven't really been given the chances of the other guys like Ike and Cody, you know, it's kind of like redshirting in a way, like in college football. He may not be ready right there and right then when he comes to the program, but having a few years under his belt, learning under McDermott and the offensive line coaches, Ken Dorsey, it gets him ready. It gets him football ready. It gets him to the same size, speed as the NFL is. And it showed off. According to PFF, Bates was the #1 overall guard in pressure rates among guards with a 1.8. He was higher than guys like Joe Thuney, the Chiefs guard, Kevin Zeitler, the Ravens guard, all solid guards in the NFL. And this guy.
Wait. Hold on, Pete. You got to say that again. And let me give you the full camera, okay? Because I don't think people heard what you said, or it may have just kind of went over their heads. But this stat right here is ridiculous. So repeat that and tell them that one more time about Ryan Bates and his pressure rate allowed. Go ahead.
Ryan Bates, a swing tackle who was an undrafted free agent that the Bills traded for in 2019 after going undrafted, finished with the lowest allowed pressure rate among the guards in the entire NFL with 1.8%. Now, given it might have been a smaller sample size, but having higher grades than guys like Joe Thuney, who was thrown a huge contract by Kansas City, Kevin Zeitler, who's one of the most higher-rated guards in the league. I mean, it was higher than Quentin Nelson, Zach Martin. The list goes on. He was the #1 guy. I mean, just the coaching, him being just ready to go whenever. I mean, it's his time to shine now, and that stat alone is proving it.
Hey, there you go. That's what I'm talking about, Pete. Talk your talk, man. Let them know what's happening. Let them know that Ryan Bates, he ain't no slouch, man. He ain't no slouch. This guy is one of the tops in the league. Lowest allowed pressure rate. That is ridiculous. I would have never even guessed until you wrote that. And I looked at it, I'm like, oh my, are you serious? No wonder Brandon Bean wanted to make sure he got that guy back in the offensive line fold. Zach, I want to take it to you because I think you've got something pressing that you want to ask Pete as well.
I do have a question because we were talking about the starters and you mentioned how McDermott likes to keep a more versatile backups because, you know, he values the positional versatility that he can like. What am I saying? Right, I was just so amazed by that Ryan Bates stat, I almost lost my train of thought. Speaking of Ryan Bates, we know he started out swing tackle, that Jeremiah Searles type guy,
yeah,
the versatile tackle guard center. Now, I must ask you, is there a depth guy that you think has a solid case to be RB2, Ryan Bates 2?
That's a good question.
about the same. I think the guys we have starting on the offensive line are the guys who are going to be starting on the offensive line. I think anyone, unless there's a serious injury, I think that guy, Questenberry, the guy we just signed from the Titans, big shout out to him not only being a cancer survivor, but he's listed, he's played tackle, he's played guard. And on the current Bills roster, he's listed as a guard despite playing tackle most of his career. He could play all over the place, and I wouldn't be shocked if he could play center there too. But, you know, with Spencer Brown, how he missed a few games last year, I can also see Greg Mantz, the center we signed from the Dolphins, him playing. He's played all along the interior. That's just another good depth piece. But I don't really see anyone necessarily having a season like Ryan Bates did, because I feel like he's going to solidify himself as starting guard. But it's a lot. Those are definitely two names to keep an eye on. That's what I say.
Yeah. I've got to ask you, Pete. I got to ask you, what is your outlook for a guy like Cody Ford? Because, you know, I'm an OU fan. Okay. And I actually did not like that pick. Especially the fact that they traded it for him, and then they tried to have him play right tackle. I felt like he was not going to be an NFL caliber starting right tackle in the league. At best, left guard. I mean, inside guard. You know, interior O lineman or something like that. But I just didn't think that he had the agility to actually translate to a starting right tackle in the National Football League. And then we know what happened. You know what's happened. He's just kind of been underwhelming. And granted, he was injured, right? But man, I'm just not too sure about Cody, man. When it comes to all Bills players, I want the best for him. I don't want to see anybody leave or be considered a bust or whatnot. But man, are we talking about potential bust potential here with Cody Ford? What are your takes, man? What are your outlook as it relates to Cody Ford?
I think last year solidified himself as a bust, and that really sucks. Yeah. And I hate having to live with the fact that a guy Brandon Bean, being the general manager he is just out to be. Another guy like that I'm starting to throw in the ring is Cyrus Kiwanjo, the tackle from the Bills drafted a few years out of Alabama. Yeah, let's not talk about it too much. But yeah, I'm sorry. That's on me.
oh, you're fine. So you're saying he's like that? He's like that level bad? Like he's approaching that level?
Level bad. I mean, yeah. I think Kiwanjo was on the Bills for maybe 2 years, but he wasn't thrown into the ring like Cody Ford was.
Right.
Well, being on the offensive line, Cody Ford was in college, protecting for Kyler Murray, for Baker Mayfield, down with the Sooners. I think a lot of people expected him to make that transition. Like a lot of other things, people expected him. I thought he was going to be a right tackle in the NFL, and he was for that one season. Especially, you know, we all remember that one play in Houston. Again, I'm sorry for bringing it up. It's something we need to talk about. I think, given the chances he's been given and him just not being able to take much away from him, I think that train has left the station. I think he's done. I think Bean is fed up with him. I think Dorsey, you know, maybe he's, you know, he's a first-year offensive coordinator, but he's been in the system. He's here with Dabble. Like, he knows what type of player he is. I think at most he serves a depth piece. I could see him being being traded for late-round picks for the 2024 draft, the 2023 draft. Or I could just see him being a training camp roster cut. I just think his time in Buffalo is almost over.
Oh, man. That's tough.
I know. It sucks.
That's tough to swallow. That's tough to swallow. Kev.
Well, I think this is a make or break year for Cody Ford. And I think with bringing in Aaron Kromer, they brought him in for guys like Cody Ford. Like, that's Kromer's project this year. Can you get Cody
Ford? Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's what I'm thinking, too. Go ahead.
Can you get Cody Ford to be that second-round pick that we sought after a few years ago? Because like we've been saying, Cody Ford has been very underwhelming. I mean, I think the game that sticks out the most to me is that Jacksonville game last year. And there are a lot of games that you terrible. Can pick from. But that Jacksonville game always sticks out to me in terms of Cody Ford just not being able to handle the pressure. And I think that bringing in Aaron Kromer, the Bills did that to get more aggressive up front. I mean, they talked about that all year, how they – had to start up front. Everything starts with the offensive and defensive lines, and you work your way back. And that's what they did. They brought in some huge, beefy, talented guys that can play both sides of the ball. And then they did that with the coaching staff too, getting a guy like Aaron Kromer to kind of preach just playing with that nasty and that aggressiveness. So I think that if Cody Ford can come out of training camp and look great, the Bills are going to keep him and say, hey, Aaron Kromer is already working wonders with this guy. But if Kroger can't get him to be that second-round pick, I think Cody Ford's time will be done as well.
Yeah, Kev, I couldn't agree with you anymore, man, because that's kind of my train of thought right there. I think – well, I'm not going to say that Kromer was brought in specifically for Ford. I think he's brought in, obviously, because they knew that the offensive line was not getting it in, and the OG Bobby Johnson was not getting the best out of the guys. He's had all this time to get him, and the offensive line has still been kind of like, you know, inconsistent. Outside of, you know, the main guys like Mitch Morris and Deion Dawkins and whatnot. But you bring in a guy like Aaron Kromer, and I think that right now, and this is Cody Ford's final year. This is the last year of his rookie contract. I definitely think that he's going to be a project guy that Kromer is going to be paying attention to because, you know, I wonder, like, if Cody Ford's lack of development was due to him just not having the skill set to translate, or was it a coaching thing? Was he just not able to get with Bobby Johnson's coaching and develop? And then, of course, you know, I think McDermott had a role to play also by moving him around. And I don't know if that was his idea, if that was Kromer's idea. I mean, not Kromer, Bobby Johnson's idea to move him from right tackle to guard, and then he got injured that year. You know, so I think a lot has happened that we can really attribute some of these shortfalls and shortcomings too, but I definitely think that Aaron Kromer's presence now should bode well for Cody Ford, but nothing is going to be given to him. He's going to have to come in this offseason and compete his tail off in training camp to prove to the coaching staff and to Brandon Bean that he's worthy of remaining on this team going forward. Because here's my line of thinking, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, or you guys just chime in and let me know what you think. Because Roger Saffold, he's only on a two-year deal, right? It's 2 years, but essentially like a 1 year maybe, you know, right? So I guess his future is very short. So if he's gone after this year, then who else is going to step in? So that means we're going to have another void at guard. I mean, we've got Eichbacher. I mean, not Eichbacher. We've got Bates. But who else is going to fill that void? I mean, we have some depth pieces. But, man, wouldn't that be – perfect scenario for Cody Ford to develop this year in training camp and improve that he's a quality depth piece to be added in the future. And then he can slide right into guard and man that position of going forward. I mean, that's kind of my thinking, and that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that Ford can kind of show that he's worth staying on this roster, and that it was in fact just a coaching thing, and that Kromer can kind of, you know, find and unlock that potential that I think he has.
Yeah, and you were mentioning the contracts. I would have to double check, but I'm pretty sure all the veterans they brought in were just 1 year deals. So you take a look at either one or two at the most. But, you know, guys like you said, Roger Saffold, Greg Manns, David Kessenberry, Greg Van Roden, even if you want to throw Bobby Hart in there, so many guys that were brought in for this year, and you guys are shaking your head.
Yeah, we don't
say his name. We don't say his name.
But yeah, so they brought in all these guys on 1 year deals, and like you said, Rev, this could be that make or break year for Cody Ford. And it's like, hey, these guys, we can't promise that we're going to re-sign all these guys next year. Yeah, there's going to be new guys that come in through free agency in the draft. But if you want a job, now is the time to go take it and prove that you could be, if not a starter, at least a reliable backup next year once we lose some of these guys in free agency.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, Roger, he is on a 1 year deal. My bad. So yeah, 1 year deal. So that to me, that opens the door for guys like Cody Ford and some of the depth pieces there to really show and prove that they are worth being on this roster in the long term, even though they may not, you know, start this year. But to add that depth piece for this year, and then going forward, potentially compete for that starting role. But you know, as I'm talking about it, I'm also asking myself this question. I'm thinking like, well, dang, if Ford, you know, improves in training camp and shows that he's made a big improvement, what do you think Bean should do? Do you think he should just, you know what, maybe even trade him, as you mentioned, Pete, earlier, for some draft picks? You know what I'm saying? Or here's my thinking. I'm like, dang, I do not want another Wyatt Teller scenario happening. You know what I'm saying? Where we kick rocks on the guy, you know, that wasn't, you know, showing himself to be any good. Granted, we've given him a lot more time. And then he goes on to another team and he's this freaking, you know, Pro Bowl caliber guard. I don't want that to happen. I do not want that to happen to Cody Ford. So what do you guys think about that, man? Do you think, Pete or Zach, that if he shows out in camp that he should be traded, or do you think he should be kept on the roster? And then a second question to that is, what do you think Cody Ford is going to be doing, thinking? Is he even going to be wanting to come back to Buffalo if he, you know, has to compete again? Or do you think it should be best for in his interest to go ahead and test the market and try to find a starting job elsewhere?
Well, I would say, to answer the first question, if he shows out in camp, I think that it would be in Beat's best interest just to take advantage of the inflated value and trade him. Because considering who our starting offensive line is, I don't see him getting on the field this year. And then beyond that, you know, we know what he is. But so I just don't see any real value beyond this year for the Bills keeping him. So if he does have a good camp and a good preseason, it would be a good time just to say, oh, we could get a future pick for him. And then you just go with the depth guys and then reevaluate.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to keep hope alive, man. I'm trying to keep hope alive. You know, I'm like, come on, Cody, don't be that bust, man. Come on, second round pick. I mean, you've got to, you know, you got to prove something. But yeah, I mean, I guess, I mean, yeah, I mean, and then, what do you think? I don't know what kind of draft compensation Bean could even get in this type of inflated market. What are you guessing, Pete? What do you think that if Cody Ford, you know, if he shows out in training camp and buzzes around Cody Ford, and you know, maybe they give him a preseason game to kind of, you know, put him out there. What do you think could be the market for him? It's kind of hard to tell right now. I'd imagine. Can you hear me, Pete?
I say maybe a fifth round pick.
Fifth?
Maybe. And I think that's his highest.
Yeah.
I think teams will see that he was given the opportunity to develop and he failed. So the developmental factor isn't there. So I think teams would most likely be willing to give no high. It's definitely a late round pick. I don't think it goes higher than fifth or lower.
Yeah. Kev, what do you think? Is that kind of?
Yeah, I feel like it would definitely be a day three pick, probably round six or seven. But I don't think that the Bills should trade him just solely for the fact of what you're talking about, Rev, with the whole Wyatt Teller situation. And I think I don't want to speak without knowing.
Look at Zach. Zach's like, he is not going to be Wyatt Teller. Zach is Zach. No, he is not Wyatt Teller.
I think we all know this now.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to be totally that. But I personally would say that Brandon Bean is not going to trade him, because he was talking about this offseason during his press conferences, how he's learned that he needs to let guys develop more and he needs to give it more time. Cause he said, I'll take total responsibility for that Wyatt Teller situation. That's on me. I should have waited longer to see what he could have turned into, but I rushed it and I traded him, and look what happened now. And again, not saying Cody Ford is going to turn into Wyatt Teller, but I think that kind of gave Brandon Bean a little bit of cold feet. And now he's going to say, okay, let's take a step back. We'll see if Aaron Kromer can kind of resurrect his career. And then if he can't, then it's going to be, what, 3-4 years? Then you can get rid of him. So to answer your question, no, I do not see the Bills getting rid of Cody Ford. Maybe it could be a cut, but I don't see Brandon Bean trading him.
Yeah, and, the major difference, though, between the Wyatt Teller situation and Cody Ford situation is Teller was cut after year one. He was only with the Bills for 1 year. Cody Ford has been here 3 years. So I would guess that Brandon Bean, after seeing what happened with Wyatt Teller, has given him this time. He's given him 3 years. This is a final year. Now he's entering into year four of his deal. So even though he may not want to part with him, and though he may think, man, I don't want him to turn into a Wyatt Teller, and it bites me in the butt again. But man, he's giving him going on 4 years compared to 1 year. So I think that he's given him plenty of time. The question, I guess, would really, I don't know if it's a question, but I think it really falls onto coaching. Like is this a developmental thing that Cody Ford is just not that guy at all, regardless of who's coaching him, or is it strictly coaching? I mean, and we're only going to have 1 year to find out with Aaron Cromer.
And I think that's the reason why they would want to keep him for at least a little bit longer now that they have Aaron Cromer. If it was still the old offensive line coach, they would say, okay, this is year four. We've had enough. But now it's like, okay, we're going to give you one final opportunity with Aaron Cromer, and we're going to see what you can do. So you better be ready to work your butt off come training camp.
But then they can't necessarily guarantee anything beyond this year because this is his final year. So even though they may say, well, you know, we want to keep you long, he's a free agent after this year. So he can say, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else and compete elsewhere, you know. So we may only get this year, this training camp season, and just the entire year of watching Cody Ford. But I don't even know what kind of opportunities he's going to have outside of training camp because I don't see him starting at all. Outside of injury, you know what I'm saying? But if an injury were to occur, all right, so let's just assume, Pete, because you said, I mean, you've got some locks here on the offensive line. We've got the tackles. You got Deion Dawkins, Mitch Morrison, and Spencer Brown. And you said definitely locks in the interior guards, right, with Roger Saffold and Ryan Bates. So now who would – if injury were to occur, who is the first interior offensive lineman to come in if there was an injury to one of those starters?
My best guess, given current injury to backups, would probably be Questenberry, unless it's Ford, like we've been talking, can develop into at least a solid backup, because I think that's his ceiling right now. Questenberry, like I noted earlier, he's very versatile. Yes, he's played tackle. He played right tackle in Tennessee last year. But right now on the roster, he's listed as a guard. So showing that he can play all around the five, not only just as a swing tackle, but maybe somewhere along the interior offensive line, I think he's the first man up.
Do you think Questenberry can push Spencer Brown?
Maybe to play better. I don't think there's really much competition. I think Spencer Brown is going to be the right tackle of the future, and it showed in the offense. That's personally me. But if you look at there's a few statistics out there. I don't know them off the top of my head. But the Bills' offense just played better. I mean, look at the Kansas City game in week 5 or 6, not the 13 seconds game. Right. They just played on a much higher level than what they did when Darrell Williams was at right tackle or someone else when Brown was in. Yeah. So I think Brown being the player his will definitely be the right tackle, but I think Quisenberry will only push him to play harder. His starting experience in Tennessee was 50-50. It was good, but it was also not the best. But I could definitely see him pushing Brown just to be a better overall player.
Yeah, I mean, I love Spencer Brown. I'm just curious. You know, when you talk about Questenberry, I mean, he's played right tackle also. But Spencer Brown, I think he's going to be perfect for Aaron Cromer in this system. Man, this dude is an incredible athletic offensive lineman. I mean, he is just ridiculously athletic. I just hope that he can. This offseason, hopefully he can develop in pass protection because we know that, man, he was having some issues as a rookie. And granted, I'm a rookie, you know, coming from a small college like that, going against some of these top pass rushers was going to be difficult for him, especially when he's freaking 6'7", 6'8". That's tough in and of itself. So if he can develop that end of his game, I think he's going to be – I think sky's the limit for Spencer Brown. My other question, though, that I have about the offensive line, man, is we've got a lot of low depth here, man. We got Tommy Doyle, and we've got guys like Ike Bocker. And somebody had mentioned here looking for an update, right? An update on Ike Bocker and how do you guys feel about Ike? So I want to ask that question to the entire group, man. Starting from the top, let's start with Kevin, and we'll work our way down to Zach and then Pete. What do you guys think about Ike Bocker? First of all, is there any update? Because I haven't heard anything about Ike Bocker. I don't know what's going on with him. Is he back healthy? If he is, how do you guys feel about him?
Well, Ike tore his ACL in the New England game, correct?
Was it ACL or was it Achilles?
It was Achilles, right?
Okay.
Achilles, okay. So that was, what, 3 weeks after Trey White's injury?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so Butker would probably come back after Trey, right? Like, we should probably expect Trey to come back first. I'm not sure exactly the timetable for these two injuries, but I think he would probably start on the PUP list, physically unable to perform. Mm-hmm. So maybe, like, mid-season, Butker could come back. But if he's totally healthy, to answer your question from before, I think he would be the first interior offensive lineman off the bench. But if anyone gets hurt in that first half of the year, yeah, I would agree with you, Pete. If Kessenberry can play interior, it'd probably be him. Maybe they try to slide Greg Vance over. I'm also curious to see Greg Van Roten, that veteran guard that they signed from the Jets, because if he shows up and he performs, I could see him already overtaking guys like Cody Ford or Greg Vance even.
Yeah. What do you guys think about? I mean, well, you know what? Hold on. I don't want to jump ahead because I want to jump on Van Roten. But Zach, what are your thoughts on Bakker?
Oh, like Kevin said, I was just under the assumption he's probably going to miss the first 6 weeks of the season. Bean would put him on the PUP list, so that would free up a roster spot for an extra offensive lineman. Yeah. And so, but when he comes back, I think he would be that first guy off the bench because I think McDermott trusts him immensely. There was a reason that he was the first guy off the bench last year when there were injuries, as opposed to Cody Ford, and it only took a Bakker injury to get Cody Ford onto the field. Right. That is when he wasn't already starting a replacement of an injured player. So I think it's him. And then to touch on Greg Van Roten, I kind of forgot he was on the Bills for a second. Like, he's a former Carolina Panther, so I can understand why they went with that signing. They have familiarity with him, and he could very well push Greg Vance or Kessenberry for a depth spot.
That's good. I mean, we need that depth. And the more I think about it with Van Roten and then obviously Kessenberry, it's not looking too favorable for Cody Ford. It's not looking too favorable for him at all. Golly, yeah, I don't think he's gonna be able to get on the field at all. You know, here's a question for you guys. So we saw what happened with Ryan Bates. As soon as he came on the field. Due to the injury to Bakker, the offensive line was just started clicking. My question, though, is would that have happened had Ike not gotten injured? Would we even have known about Bates like this had that not happened? And I guess my question is mainly like pointing towards McDermott's ability to identify talent across the offensive line and insert them when they should be starting, as opposed to waiting on guys like Cody Ford to develop, or even guys like Ike Bakker, who we trusted, but evidently, I mean, Ryan Bates was the best guy that was there, and I don't think anybody, even Bakker on a healthy, fully healthy, is gonna knock out Bates for that starting job.
Well, I think it's also important to note that a lot of people forget Bakker was starting that game. But so was Bates. They were both starting together. What happened was when Bakker went down, they were starting together. Yeah, oh, I know, man. Ford. Okay. I think Ford was either out or it was something. I think he was on the COVID list or something. They were both the two starting guards.
Happened
was when Bakker went down, Williams shifted over to right guard, and Spencer Brown shifted over to right tackle. And that when that happened, the offense was already clicking. It was just. That's when we really saw Ryan Bates. That's when the spotlight was truly on him.
Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking Cody Ford was starting to get with Matt Ford. I don't know why I was thinking. I didn't think Ryan Bates was on the field. But, yeah, that's my bad.
Yeah, I know Dawkins didn't start that game. It was either an injury or something. He sustained. I remember that he wasn't starting that game. But once Bakker went down, that's when he came into the game.
Okay.
Also, my memory's a little hazy. I was in the nosebleeds for that game, so it was pretty hard to see the field. But that's what I remember. You know, it's hard to miss something. As someone who follows the offensive line so closely, that was something big because that's the first time we really saw Bates in starting action. So it's easy to forget that he was starting that game because there was just so much going on and everyone was focused on, holy shit, like we could beat the Patriots, like we should be beating the Patriots.
Right.
But having – Bakker, my thing with Bakker is with a torn Achilles, that's such a serious injury to come back from.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's a little different from basketball, like when Kevin Durant tore his Achilles. You know, football, it's a much more, you know, manly game, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be, you know, the tougher guys come back from injuries at a different pace than basketball. And I'm not calling out any basketball players or anything that it's just what it is. It's much more contact game. These guys are built for injuries like this.
So, and obviously I'm rooting for Butker. 2020, he was actually my Ryan Bates. He came in late last season. I think it was Arizona, and he, you know, he caught my attention. I thought he was supposed to be the true starting guard, and then he just comes in 2021, and it just wasn't there. I didn't think. But it's pretty evident that the coaches like him and they're keeping him around. I know he was a restricted free agent, and they brought him back again this year. So obviously they like him. It's just, you know, he may be a football player, and he's a little hypocritical of what I just said. A torn Achilles is still a hard injury to come back
from.
Yeah,
it is.
So he might not be the same player he once was. They may favor someone who doesn't have as big of an injury career as he did, such as Van Roten, such as Mann, such as Quisenberry. But having that option of Butker being back, you know, he's going to start the year on the physically unable to perform list, but having him in your back pocket, that's never a bad option.
Yeah, that's definitely good. And then we got my man Tommy Doyle. Like, what do you think about Tommy Doyle, man? Is he gonna make the 53?
I hope so. I like him. I mean, it was really freaking cool seeing him catch a touchdown in the Patriots game.
Yeah,
but that's not his job. He's right. An offensive lineman. He's not supposed to catch passes.
Right.
When he was in swing tackle, I thought the offense. He started playing more of the swing tackle once Bates came in and became a starting guard, taking over Bates as a swing tackle. I thought he did well. The run game was truly better. Pass game was better. Josh Allen truly started to click. But then again, Quisenberry. I mean, I don't know if he can play the swing tackle like Bates or like Doyle. But that's just a name to keep an eye out on. And he's a veteran. I mean, he knows how to play the game a little bit better because him being in the league much longer. Cromer and Dorsey just may favor him just because of his experience. They may just favor him as a backup. But, you know, they only want to keep so many linemen. I do hope they keep Doyle. I just don't know the chances of him actually keeping Doyle on the roster.
Yeah, I think Doyle makes the 53. It's going to be hard to get rid of him, you know, especially so early, right? I think he has some promises, and maybe as a swing tackle. So I definitely think he's going to make it unless something happens, you know, unforeseeable, or some of these other guys way down the list, like some of these rookies, Luke Tenuta. How do you pronounce his last name? Tenuta?
Tenuta. I think it's Tenuta.
Okay. Yeah. Any of these guys like that decide to come up, man. But, yeah, I love what I do like it finally feels like the offensive line is deep. Like our starting five is legit good, and then our backups, man, we've got quality depth, not just guys that we just throw in there, but actually quality depth with a lot of starting experience. And so I am definitely excited about that. And I think Aaron Cromer is like licking his chops, right? Can't wait to get his hands on these guys as we approach training camp. And to find out, you know, how it's going to gel together. I actually think that the offensive line, man, is going to bode well for the running game too, man. I think these guys are going to dominate in the run game.
Last season.
It did. Go ahead, Kev. You look like you want to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, tying it back into Aaron Cromer, let's not forget that the Bills had the number one rushing offense when Cromer was here back in 2016.
That was
obviously a different offense with Tyrod and LaShawn McCoy. And it's more of a pass-heavy team and a pass-heavy league now than it was 5-6 years ago. But at the end of the day, look how great that running game was with Aaron Cromer leading it.
Right.
No, not exactly leading it, but he certainly helped pave the way.
Oh yeah, he definitely paved the way. I mean, I would think he was the brains behind that operation. I mean, we know what he's known for. And that's exactly why McDermott brought him onto the team and to his coaching staff, because he knew the deficiency in this offensive line was in the run game, so inconsistent, so bad, so poorly coached. And so you insert a guy like that with that type of background, that type of resume, it has to bode well for the entire O-line, but especially in the run game. And Eric Wood, he loves Aaron Cromer. Anytime he gets a chance to talk about it, man, he loves Aaron Cromer and what he did. And I can actually see that, man. And I love that we got Roger Saffold in there, because I think he's going to be that Richie Incognito guy that we had under Aaron Cromer in Buffalo. And we had him with Eric Wood. It's just a real mauling type of offensive guard, and really for the entire O-line. I remember watching a podcast Bussing with the Boys. I'm not sure if you guys have caught that before, but Bussing with the Boys, man, they had Eric Wood on there along with what's Tennessee's I keep on forgetting his name, man, the left tackle, Taylor Lewan.
Taylor Lewan.
Yeah, Taylor Lewan. Yeah, yeah. So they were on there, and Eric Wood was asking him about Roger Saffold. Yo, and he just flat out said, yo, he is the best run-blocking guard he has ever seen in his life, ever. So, man, we get that guy who brings in that type of nasty from the Tennessee Titans. We know that culture in Tennessee, right, on the offensive line. Plus, Questenberry as well coming in with that same type of attitude. I think the Buffalo Bills offensive line is going to make huge improvements, especially around the running game, which is going to bode well for my man Motor Singletary, who I think is going to have 1,000 yards rushing, guys. I think Motor Singletary is going to hit that 1K mark. I mean, he almost had it last year. It's crazy of a year as it was in the run game. He had like 800-something yards rushing, and it was like so quiet, so quiet. Do you imagine you get that guy started earlier in the year? He's going to hit 1K. Buffalo Bills are going all the way, baby. All the way, all the way. Pete, man, yo, appreciate you so very much, man, for joining us, man. I really, really do appreciate it. But, hey, do you got time for a quick game? I want to do a game. You got time for it? All right, this is going to be off the cuff, Pete, off the cuff. And to everybody who is watching us still in the chat, yo, thank you so very much for watching the second episode of the Buffalo Fanatics Riders Club right here. Do us a favor. Like, smash those likes, comment, subscribe to the channel, turn those bell notifications on so you can stay up to date with all things Buffalo Fanatics, because this is how we do it, bringing you all the Bills content. Here we go on a Saturday afternoon. So we're going to go in with another segment as we close out the show. Another game. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one. And I'm going to go around the table. But this one, here it is. Check this out. Yo, that's cold. Okay, so this is what this segment is, what this game is cold takes. We've heard about the hot takes, right? Everybody wants to come out with the hot takes and predict, you know, what they think is going to happen, or just some crazy hot takes that may be far-fetched way out there, right? But I want to do something different, something that kind of resembles the 716 Buffalo baby cold. You know what I'm saying? That's how we do it. And this is called That's Cold, where I want to hear your cold takes, complete polar opposite, pun intended, to hot takes. So I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to kind of gather your thoughts. I want those who are still watching us in the chat live stream, and even those who are listening via podcast, you guys can answer too. Obviously, link up, get on the YouTube channel, put your comments in, all that kind of stuff. This is going to be as interactive as possible. So I want to hear your cold takes as it relates to the Buffalo Bills this season. Does anybody have it ready? I'm going to go around the table. Anybody got a cold take? You got one, Pete? All right, Pete, hold on a second. Yep. Let me solo you up, Pete. All right. Pete solo take. He's his cold take. Pete, and you got to say, that's cold. All right, here we go. Ready?
All right.
Go.
I think it's simple. Josh Allen wins MVP. I mean, he showed it last season that he was the guy. I mean, he's got the dog in him. I don't care what you say about Zach Wilson. Josh Allen's the best quarterback in this league. He's got the stats to prove it. He's got the intangibles to do it. All eyes are on him this season. The Bills will go to a Super Bowl, and I think they will win too. That's just another cold take. I mean, it's all eyes are on him, and I think he does it this year. This is the year Josh Allen proves all the doubters wrong. He's the better quarterback over Mahomes. He's got everything that you could ask for in a quarterback. So I think he wins MVP, and he also leads the Bills to the Super Bowl. That's cold.
Oh snap. All right, Pete. So now my question, Pete, is that cold, or is that kind of hot? Because
no, I think it's cold.
Because the national media, everybody is already, you know, predicting them to win the MVP. So I guess that's pretty cold, right? I mean, everybody's already expecting it. He's gonna go ahead and do it. I like it. That's cold, baby. All right, now who else is up? Who's next? Who's ready? Kev, you ready? Oh shoot! Here we go, Kev. I almost hit the wrong button and removed you. Solo Kev, that's cold. Go ahead, Kev.
All right, so I think this is cold, definitely for Western New York and for Bills fans. It might be a little bit hot for people outside of Bills Mafia, but I think people are starting to come around to this, so I'm going to say it's a cold take, and that's Gabe Davis is going to have a breakout year this year.
Booyah. Oh, hold on. Kev, you got to end it with, that's cold.
Wait, say it again?
You got to end it with, and that's cold.
Oh, okay. So Gabe Davis is going to have a breakout year this year. I think he's wide receiver, too. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but he put on 17 pounds of muscle. He's now at 227, up from 210, and that's cold.
Oh, there we go, man. That's what I'm talking about, Kev. Yes, sir. I love Gabe Davis. I love the fact that he yoked up. He's going to be freaking ridiculous this year, man. DBs, watch out. He's going to go nuclear. I love it. That's cold. All right, Zach, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go, Zach. Zach, on three. One, two, three. Here it is.
So my cold take for the Bills this year is that, and I'm going to do this as a shout-out to our girl, Savage Trish, who couldn't be with us this time, but I'm going to say that Tyler Bass, Mr. T-Bass, will have more extra points than field goals this year, and that's cold.
Hey, yo, I love it. I love it. More extra points than field goals. Why? Because we're scoring touchdowns, baby. We don't even need those field goals. That's how we do it, and that's cold. You guys, yo, so I've been trying to think, man, and I don't have one off the top. So let me, I'm about to get one off the top, but you guys have been dropping. I'm trying to see if anybody in the chat has dropped one. You guys scroll through the comments and let me know. Pete, do you got a bounce, man? You got a bounce, Pete?
Yeah, baseball never sleeps. Got to go print out more tickets.
Okay. All right, Pete. Yo, look. Shout out to my man, Pete. Pete, tell everybody who's watching us and everybody who's listening where they can find you and what you have planned in the very near future.
So you can follow me. My Twitter handle's right there, Rubenstein Pete. Not only am I going to be focusing on the offensive line this season, I'm also going to be talking some college football because I think that's another pertinent subject. I'm going to be talking about games that you guys should be watching for and the players that you should be looking for so they could be possible future Bills, so you're not knowing who they are before they join the roster. But, yeah, find me on Twitter. And, thanks for having me.
No doubt. And that is my man, Pete Rubenstein. You guys, give Pete a hand for joining us on the Buffalo Fanatics Riders Club. Thank you so much, Pete. See you guys again, man. You have a good weekend. Enjoy yourself. Be safe, man. Yo, all right. Guys, we're wrapping up the show. I'm just thinking. I'm going to go off the cuff. Off the cuff for that's cold take. I got Terrence Blanton coming in here. Terrence says, yo, Tremaine Edmonds is defensive player of the year. That's ice cold. Okay, hold on, Terrence. I think that's more of a hot take than a cold take, because I don't know how many people are saying that Tremaine Edmonds is going to be defensive player of the year. It has to be something that's kind of obvious, something that we already know is going to happen, right? That's obvious. I don't know too many people who are already saying that Tremaine Edmonds is going to be a defensive player of the year. Does anybody in here agree with that? Do you guys think that's going to happen, or do you think that's more of a hot take?
I think that's more of a hot take, but I could definitely see Tremaine Edmonds having a great year because it's a contract year. I'm sure he hears the trade buzz, not the trade buzz that the media is creating, but more or less just Twitter. You know, people are saying, we'll get rid of Tremaine Edmonds. This is it. We got to find a new linebacker, Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, all this. I think he's going to come out and have a great year this year, but I think that's more on the warmer side than the colder side.
Yeah. More on the warmer side. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I was leaning towards too. I definitely think he's going to have a fantastic year, but I don't know if that's a cold take or more of a hot take. More of a hot take. I've got one for you. Let me see. I think I may have a couple. I may have a couple for you. I'm trying to think which one I want to do. All right, here we go. Let me do number one. All right, cold take number one. Ed Oliver is going to lead the team in sacks, and that's cold. He's going to lead the team in sacks because when you look at it, he's in a contract year as well, okay? We've got the additions of Von Miller. We've got the additions next to him and Tim Settle and my man Daquan Jones, but my man Ed Oliver has been doing his thing, and he is in a contract year, baby. He's going to do it. He's going to lead the team in sacks, and that's cold. All right. Now,
is that cold or hot?
That may be a little hot. That may be a little hot, you know. Okay, let me, a little warm. All right, so let me see.
A little warm for Von Miller's likes.
Well, yeah. You know, actually, I was going to put Miller on there because that was, you know, I think Von Miller would be more of a cold take, guys. But I don't have another one. Let me see. Does anybody have a second one? Kev, you got a second one? Zach, you got a second one? I'm trying to check through the chat.
Just off the top of my head, I would say that James Cook is going to be one of the most versatile backs in the league. Maybe not in the whole league. I don't know exactly how they're going to use him, but I think regardless, he's going to be a crucial part of this Bills offense and just another weapon for Allen, and that's cold.
There we go. I got you. I got one. I got one for you. Here you go. All right. The Buffalo Bills are going to win the AFC East. You know, that's cold.
Cold.
That's very cold.
That's AC cold.
That's freaking super cold. I don't think it can get any colder than that.
I had to go Zach, to get my sweatshirt on now.
Zach, do you got another one? Or are you good?
Let me think about it real quick.
Okay. All right. I'm still trying to go through the chat. You guys let me know in the chat if you guys got a cold take. You got a cold take.
I see one in the comments right here if you want to read that one, Rev.
Which one?
Bill's going to have the number one defense, and that's
– Oh, yeah. You go ahead and read that, Kev. I'll let you read it. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Bill's going to have the number one defense, and that's ice cold from Abel Valencia.
Yeah, I like it, baby. I like it. There we go. Now we're cooling up. That's good. All right. Zach, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, Zach is ready. Here we go, Zach. Go.
So the Buffalo Bills secondary will shut down opposing wide receivers, and that's ice cold.
No doubt about it, man. Let me think of. I think I've got another one. Let me see. Hold on. Okay, I got one for you. This is stupid. All right, you ready? Here you go. All right. Here we go. Let me get my straight face on. All right. Here it is. Josh Allen is going to make the Pro Bowl, but he's going to snub the Pro Bowl and go play golf again. And that's cold. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, man, we having fun, man. We having fun. And I hope you guys had fun as well for joining us for episode 2 of the Buffalo Fanatics Riders Club. And you know what? This Riders Club, baby, is ice cold. And until next time, guys, look, you keep it locked right here on the Buffalo Fanatics Network. Don't forget to download the BF Network app so you can get everything related to the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Fanatics. You can find all of these incredible Riders content on the BF Network app. You can follow my man Kev Syracuse at KSyracuse5. You can follow my man Zach Vaughn at ZVaughn2712. You can follow me at Rated Rev. Yo, this is how we do it, y'all. We absolutely love bringing you this content, but make sure you follow us again. And next week, we're going to be doing the same thing with more guests. So keep it locked on the Buffalo Fanatics Network. Till next time, guys, grace and peace. God bless. We love y'all. And as always, go
Bills.
Yes, sir.